Friday. Today is November the 1st, and you're listening to My Farm. We're going to take a look out in the backyard and garden, talk about some basics of fall cleanup, also talk about firewood, as October was firewood month, and the importance of not transporting it for fear of transporting pests. We'll have the details on that and more fall tips after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
We're going to take some time this Friday morning as we look out in the backyard and garden. It's that time of year to be talking about fall cleanup of the backyard and garden. One thing we want to start with, though, is looking back to a day ago, or I guess technically a month ago, as we're now in November. October was firewood month, and one of the big premises behind that was a campaign to not move firewood. The reason behind that, similar to the story we had yesterday about how diseases can unintentionally spread to certain areas, firewood is a big way that different insects can spread. And locally, one of the biggest ones we've seen most recent was emerald ash borer. And it's estimated that that is how it spread so quickly across parts of Ohio and our surrounding states, was the unintentional movement of that pest by folks transporting firewood. So again, a campaign not to move firewood, to purchase it if you're going camping or wherever you may be, and just burn the local wood rather than taking it with you. That way you are not unintentionally transporting some pest. Obviously, this is the time as folks are cleaning up their backyards and maybe cutting down old trees or bushes, shrubbery, getting some of that firewood. But again, keep it at home, use it for your home use, but please do not transport that around. Well, obviously, we've gone through the time now where we've got most of the trees have either shed all their leaves or a good number of the leaves are on the ground. And those leaves make great compost, something that you can add to your compost pile, especially if you have a big pile of grass clippings from earlier. That grass adds a lot of nitrogen. The dried leaves add a lot of the carbon source, and so those work well. You can even break up small sticks and twigs, nothing too big to put in there, but as that is mixed together along with any of the plant material from your garden, provided it was not overly disease infested, a lot of those things can be compost and really turn into a nice rich product that you can then reapply to your garden or flower beds and use in coming seasons. So again, mulching those leaves is a great idea. If they aren't too thick, you can just go through and chop them up a couple times with your lawnmower going in different directions, and that filters down into the grass along with any grass clippings you have, and it very much does the same thing. It provides a nice little mulch layer, releasing nutrients throughout the winter months and into the spring to help feed that lawn. Now is the time when a lot of folks will do a fall feeding of their lawn. That is something you can do. We don't want to get overly ambitious with that. We don't want a whole lot of growth this time of year to stress those plants, but some folks do like to make a fall application of fertilizer. Actually, with the moisture we have and some of the warmer conditions we've had, now's not that bad of a time still to try and reseed or sod lawns if you would like to do that. And as we've said before, any month that ends with an R is considered a good time to plant trees and shrubs as well. So September, October, November, even into December, as long as that ground is not too froze, a good time to get trees in the ground and then make sure they have plenty of water to help them get established as they go into what could be a stressful winter growing season. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at cropcoverage.com.
Thanks, Joe. We're going to continue a little bit what we talked about yesterday dealing with bats, but the positive impacts they have for agriculture. USDA's Rod Bain tells us more.
A friend to agriculture. When that phrase is applied, one might consider a grower, a farm advocate, an ag organization or agribusiness, or even a government entity. The saying can also apply to various species of animals and insects. Honeybees and other pollinator bees are one example of this. And as Kim Winter of the U.S. Forest Service says, bats should also be placed in this same conversation.
They provide pollination services in many tropical countries and many tropical zones of the planet.
Their pollinator services allowing for production, export, and consumer enjoyment of various exotic forms of fruits and vegetables, spices, and herbs. That service this also applies to U.S. farm and food production as well.
When they are coming in for some nectar on cactus and the agave plant in Mexico and in the southwest of the United States, bats will come in and they'll be night pollinators for that very important agave, which is used in tequila.
Bats also are contributors to pest control for crops in our nation and in North America.
Down in Texas, they're flying around in the night skies, basically protecting corn crops from a lot of nocturnal moths that are otherwise going to eat them. And in Georgia, we see bats flying around protecting the pecan crop.
That is why the education about and protection of bat habitat is important, including this time of year. Bat Week, an international awareness and education campaign, takes place the last 7 days of October every year. Winter says a variety of resources, research, materials, and events are presented at the Bat Week website, www.batweek.com. allonword.org.
We have it broken up into different sections of why bats matter, how people can take action, some of the events that are going on, where you can learn. There's also some really great videos there. We even have people reading books about bats.
Also to be released in conjunction with Bat Week 2024, a bat conservation strategy developed by partners in conservation efforts like the Forest Service.
We can work on new and novel ways to both combat the decline of bats due to diseases such as white-nosed syndrome and other issues that are facing them, such as habitat decline, but also be very proactive in how we ramp up the populations of bats and assist them in growing their populations after that devastating disease.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Thanks, Rod. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great weekend.